I'll be reading from Matthew 5, 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You may be seated.
Good morning. It's good to be with you on this Lord's Day. And today's a special day, and we are calling it We Are the Sermon. And I understand that the forecast isn't necessarily the ideal forecast, but it seems the way it goes sometimes when I plan events. We are going to not change everything at this point, and we'll just have to see what the weather does. We will have a 2 o'clock evening worship, and we have some projects that we're committed to doing that are inside in nature, and we are taking some gifts and things to the nursing homes, and I told them that we'd be there to do all that, and to the workers who work there. And we also are going to eat at 6 p.m., and we will do the outside projects as available. Not all of them require mowing, so some of them, even if it's wet and the rain passes, we can still go do some things. And basically, that's going to be left up to the team leaders who are coordinating those projects, and we'll just kind of have to see as we go. And then we can possibly add some other inside projects and things here at the building, maybe not of a community outreach nature, but doing some things that would help us at our church building as well. And so everything's still on. Encourage you to come to our 2 o'clock afternoon worship. And then 6 o'clock will be the meal. We hope to work from about that 3 o'clock time frame until the meal. We'll also have a prayer time at 4:30 for anybody that wants to attend that as well, another kind of activity we have going on. You can see on the front of the bulletin the team leaders, and if they're able to go out and work, the jobs that they're going to be doing, and also the number of workers they need. And after the end of the service at 2 o'clock, we will divide up into the various areas and make plans with what we'll be doing. And so I hope that you'll be involved this afternoon. I'd like to take a lot of credit for this, but I can't. It just fell this way. When I planned these sermons out, I actually planned these for a week or two ago, but it worked out where, because of some things, snow and various things, these sermons got moved back so that they fell on the same day we're doing We Are the Sermon. And you could not have a better text, I don't believe, to kind of go with our day and what we're trying to do today and what we're trying to do throughout even this year of letting our light shine than the text that we're studying this morning. And it's going with our series on the Sermon on the Mount and the overall concept of Discipleship 101. And this morning we're thinking about the second kind of segment of verses in the Sermon on the Mount. Last week, or 2 weeks ago, we studied the Beatitudes, which are the characteristics of a Christian. The Beatitudes, the characteristics that we're to display. And now this week we're going to talk about the example or the influence that a Christian is to display. If you think about this next concept of the Hispanic culture in America. Say, well, why are we going there? How has the Hispanic culture become such an influence upon America? How, in many ways, have they infiltrated and become a cultural force and changed American culture? I might suggest that they've done that through chips and salsa and guacamole, haven't they? Think about if you go back 50 years ago, how many Spanish terms would the average person have known? How often would they have eaten Mexican food? Yet Mexican food now is a big part of our diets, right? We go to the Mexican restaurants, we like chips and salsa, we like these things. But let's think about it a little more than that. Think about all the TV programs that even starting at a young age, like Dora and Diego, and their emphasis upon the Hispanic culture. Or think about the sporting world and how much of the sports have influenced from soccer and the involvement of the Hispanic culture in that. And then Even into further ways, we've had intermarriage and the infiltration of most Hispanics into our nation. Why? Because of work. They have come here to work. Now, my lesson's not about the Hispanic culture. But my lesson is using that as an illustration of how a group of people over a series of decades have changed and impacted the culture to which they used to be foreigners to, but now they have impacted the culture to which they have come. And they haven't done it through swords or guns, but they've done it through chips and salsa and soccer and relationships. That is what Christians are to be doing for the world. We are to make an impact and transform our culture through who we are, through the infiltration, through our relationships, through our connections, through our example at work and at play. And I think what has happened in the American culture with the Hispanic culture's influence is a great example of what Christians should be doing for the cause of Jesus. You see, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. And if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under the feet of men." Notice that in Jesus' day, salt had a lot of value. In fact, you've heard the expression, "That person is not worth their salt." Well, that comes from the idea that salt had a monetary value, and Roman soldiers were even paid in salt. And they would extract salt from the sea, the Dead Sea and other ocean water, and they had a process of refining it. And if it was not refined properly, I'm told that if it got rained on or other things like that happened, it would become very hard. It was mixed with a lot of impurities anyways, and they had to try to refine that and get the impurities out. And it could very easily lose what Jesus calls here its saltiness. And their food was very common, very bland, and so they used salt a lot to season their food. But they also used salt, like our pioneers did in our country, to preserve their food. And if the salt became useless, they would use it as a type of roadbed. And they would put it out on the roads so it would keep weeds from growing and it would make a hard kind of compact for them to walk and travel on. Jesus is saying, "You're the salt of the earth. You are to make an impact. But if you lose your saltiness, something that is supposed to be impacting the world, then you're just thrown out and you're trampled over by the feet of man." And then Jesus says, "You are a light." In Jesus' day, there was no electricity. They lit their homes with a candlestick. And these oil lanterns and things, I'm told in researching this, were hard to light. And they, once they lit those, they would often leave them throughout the night. And also, you can imagine, if you had some problem in the night and you had to get up, you would want an easy access to light. We just flip a switch. But they would put a bushel or some type of covering over the light. So that way, if they needed it in the night, they could just remove that and then it would give light to the whole house. And it would burn all night long. Jesus is saying, "You are to be that light that shines in darkness." And he says, "Don't put your basket, don't put your bushel over it, but let it shine and give light to all who are in the house." There's two key qualities of these ingredients here. Two key things that both of these, salt and light, do. Number one, they are distinctive from their environment. Salt is unique from whatever it is put in. All right, so we got green beans, we got corn, we take salt. This is one distinctive element. Salt is a distinctive element. But we put salt into the green beans and corn, and it makes a difference in the green beans and corn. And how does it do that? it's going to penetrate it. And it's going to infiltrate it. And it's going to season it. But it is different. Notice what Jesus says in Matthew 5. He says, there is you. There is you. And then there is the world. See what Jesus is saying? You are separate from the world. There is light, and then there is darkness. You are the salt. You are the light. And you are to be different than the other environment, distinctive from it. But secondly, notice this second quality is that both salt and light penetrate their environment. They penetrate their environment. If you put a lot of salt in your green beans, you can taste it, but you can't always see it. Most of the time you can't see it, right? It becomes a part of it. So it is that Christians are to penetrate in the world. We're not to withdraw into our storm shelters, but we are to go out and be the salt and the light of the world. You see, the world needs salt. It is bland. It is in need. It is perishing. It is being ruined. There's a real sense of where salt serves as a saving preservative from evil. And light is the shedding or the giving of truth. You might think about it like having a ham. And that ham is going to decay. It's going to ruin if it is not salted. And that salt is going to be able to preserve that because it's going to penetrate down deep into it and preserve it. So the world is perishing. And the church has to penetrate it to preserve it. And the world is in darkness. And we are to share its light, to spread the truth of Jesus. Jesus says, you are. He doesn't say become. He doesn't say this is just an illustration. He says, you are. You are the salt. You are the light. Now, as I thought about this week, I know you could come up with a lot of different things to think about with three key aspects. But I think there are three key things that I wanted to mention. And Ephesians chapter 5 is going to kind of be a jumping off point. That I think we live out our salt and our light in these three areas. In Ephesians 5, Paul would say this. He says, in verses 8 and following, for at one time you were in darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good, right, and true. The fruit of light, what comes from us being salt and light is good, right, and true. Heard a story about a missionary in China, and he asked this man, he said, have you ever heard the gospel? He was been in a remote village, and the guy said, I've never heard the gospel, but I have seen the gospel. He said, there was this man who was an opium smoker. He was very cruel and mean. He was a very wicked man. He was known throughout the villages for his lifestyle. And this man became a Christian. He gave up his drug addiction. He became gentle and kind and good. And he said, I learned that the reason this man changed was because of the gospel. He says, I still don't know what the gospel is, but I want to hear it because I've seen it. Jesus is telling us we have to show the gospel. We have to live the gospel. We have to be salt and light. Now, how do we do that? How do we do that? Well, it seems to me
the three ways we do that, the first one would be in our speech. In our speech. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul, in writing to the Colossian brethren, says this: "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer each person." We even maybe in a negative way, sometimes in our culture, people say, well, their speech is pretty salty. Well, that's not the way Paul's using it here. The way people often speak today that causes them to hurt their salt and light for Jesus is, as Ephesians 5:29 says, is very corruptly. People hear what you say. I don't mean they just audibly hear it. I mean they interpret and they make a judgment about you based upon what you say. Like it or not, and all of us, James says none of us can perfectly control the tongue, and all of us struggle with this. But we need to understand as Christians, how we control our tongue is going to be a direct reflection upon the salt and light we give to the world. And if we use the language of everybody else, our salt and our light is going to be bland, and our light is going to be covered. And we're good for nothing and need to be thrown out. We cannot curse and use filthy language. We cannot use the Lord's name in an irreverent and in a crude and foul way. We cannot participate in dirty jokes. We need to be careful about our use of gossip and our always spreading stories. And obviously we must be very careful about our integrity and our honesty. When I think about salt and light and how we can infiltrate this world today, we first need to start with what we say. Because if we do not mind and carefully control what we say, then people will certainly not listen to us when we talk about Jesus. So Jesus says, if you want to be salt, if you want to be light, you need to control your tongue. You need to control your tongue. The next thing I think is very key, and this is referred to in Mark chapter 9, verse 50. Jesus says at the end of this chapter, "Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will it make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." How do we have salt in this world? By being at peace with one another. I think peace basically comes from humility. In Matthew chapter 5, our text, just before he talks about being salt and light, he gives us the Beatitudes that we studied previously. And if you read those Beatitudes, the overwhelming quality of the Beatitudes is humility. Listen to them again. Poor in spirit, mourning, meek, desiring righteousness, merciful, pure in heart, peacemaker. Now, what do those qualities all have in common? Someone that's humble. The world has enough arrogant, prideful people. It does not need Christians being arrogant and prideful about what we have and who we are. It needs Christians being humble and peaceable and loving. The second way you can cast your salt and you can cover up your light is by being prideful, by not being humble, by always causing conflict and always having to have your way, demanding you get it your way and others serve you instead of serving others. It seems to me that Jesus gives an example of salt and light, and one of his key characteristics was that he came to serve, not to be served. When you think about your light and your salt, how's your tongue? How's your pride? And number three, we got to be involved in doing something good. It's not enough just to talk about it. It's not enough just to be humble. But notice in our text, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, notice what Jesus says. In the same way, let your light so shine before others so that they may, and here's the word, they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. How are they going to see your good works? Because you're doing visible good works. In 1 John chapter 3, 16 through 18, the Bible says this, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has this world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or in talk, but in deed and in truth." What today is about is not just mowing someone's yard or giving a little gift at the nursing home or preparing a meal for the church. All those things are going to be temporary in nature. The yard's going to grow. We're going to get hungry again. And the workers are going to move on and forget about it. So what is it about? It's about doing something in the name of Jesus for someone else. That's what we want to do every day and every week, is help others and let our good works, our kindness, our actions, our deeds, our sympathy, our mercy, our concern be shown through our attitude and through what we do. And so people don't know the love of God unless they see and hear the love of God. So there's three key aspects. Now, when you think about this, maybe you could list others that affect our salt and our light. But it seems to me that if we're going to infiltrate, if we're going to be the salt to the earth and the light to the world, we've got to get these three things right. We've got to be concerned about our tongue, we've got to be concerned about our pride, and we've got to be concerned about what we're doing. James says, don't just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. There's a story about a boxer. It happened back in the 1930s. His name was C.D. Blaylock. It's pretty unique in boxing history. He was actually a professional boxer and pretty good at boxing. But he did something that's very unique. He went very aggressively to punch his opponent. And somehow, it's not a video of this, of course, but somehow he hit himself so that his aggressive blow actually hit himself. And the crowd was surprised and they thought it was just a glancing blow, but then he stumbled and he fell down. You know, sometimes as Christians, I think we don't understand that we actually punch ourselves. We knock our own self out. And what we want to do, we want to do good. We want to share the gospel. We want other people to be saved. But inadvertently, we punch ourselves out and we ruin our light. We ruin our salt by our example. And others say, I see how they live. I know that they go to church, but I see how they live. And it really doesn't seem, and here's the key phrase, it really doesn't seem to make a difference in their life. And if Jesus is saying anything in this text, he is saying you are to be different because you've come in contact with me. You be different from the world. Be distinctive from the world. And the world will say unto you, I want what you have. Are you punching yourself out this morning? Are you covering up your light? Are you casting your salt to the road so it's good for nothing? Will you not come back and restore your saltiness and restore your light? If you need to rededicate your life, come and make a public repentance. If you need to put Christ on in baptism, come as together we stand and sing.